Welcome everybody to a super special and mildly anticipated episode of the Wrestling Wars podcast, which will have like pretty much no wrestling on it at all, except for wrestling with the decisions that you are going to make for your fantasy football leagues this year. This is the Ty Berna and Mighty NorCal Fantasy Football Spectacular. I got my main man, Ty Berna, who has won thousands of dollars, playing fantasy football. Glad to have you with us. And my opinion counts because my team was better than Ty's last year. So, that's what makes us... that's what brings us along. Okay, we have covered the story ad nauseum, and you are not going to be able to say this for very much longer once our Dynasty League comes back. But actually, maybe you will, because my team in that league is sort of fucked because my defense is going to be non-existent. But I've got good building blocks, so it won't be down for long. Anyways, though, we're here for, not for our Dynasty League, for standard leagues, for everybody out there who might be interested in becoming a new fantasy football player, or who is already a player and wants to hear, you know, some expert analysis on who they should be going with this year. So, what we're going to start off with, a lot for, you know, our international listeners, people who might not really be that much, even if you're not really that much into the NFL, you can still have a really fun time playing fantasy football. And so we're going to try today to start things off to help you understand a little bit more about fantasy football and how fantasy football works. Now, the most basic way that I can lay out fantasy football for you is that you draft players for a team. Usually, most leagues will have a quarterback, two running backs, two or maybe three receivers, and a tight end, and possibly a flex player. A flex player is one of any three, usually, a flex player can either be a running back, receiver, or tight end, whatever you feel like playing that week. So you have to pick two running backs, three receivers, a tight end, and then backups for those guys in case they get hurt or they have a bye week or whatever, what have you. Now, the point here is not necessarily to pick the best players that you know of. The point is to pick the players who you think will put out the best statistics on a week-to-week basis. Guys who you think will score the most touchdowns, who will run for the most yards, who will do the best. And a lot of this, like I said, doesn't really boil down to a lot of the time who the best players are. But those two things intersect quite often, but there are a lot of players who, because they're in a certain system, or depending on the situation of the team that they are on, are going to put up better numbers than some players that might be quote-unquote better than them in a sort of in a real-life kind of way. We say it often that there's a lot of quarterbacks, for instance, who are not great real-life quarterbacks, but they are awesome fantasy quarterbacks. Because they get a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns, they just don't necessarily make good decisions in the game. They'll throw interceptions. They're not real good at managing a game, but they will get really good statistics as far as building up yards and touchdowns. That sort of deal. Now, you're going to run across, most of the time, two different kind of leagues. You're going to have what's called a standard or non-PPR league, or you're going to have a PPR league. PPR stands for points per reception. It's when a tight end, receiver, or running back catches a pass, they score a point for that, which is not, which oddly, to me, I like to say it non-PPR and PPR, because calling one standard and calling the other one PPR makes it this seem to me like you're trying to say that PPR is not the, you know, the regular way to go, and I think that's kind of bullshit. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't track catches for points. How do you feel on the, what side of the fence are you on all that, Ty?
Well, every league I'm in is always PPR, so I've always said that's the standard league now more than anything.
Yeah, because it's a positive statistic that gets tracked, so why wouldn't somebody score points for it? I don't understand that.
The biggest difference between PPR and non-PPR is non-PPR puts a way higher value on running backs then, because then they're the ones that are going to more likely get you more yardage.
Yeah.
Because they're, at that point in time, wide receivers and running backs are equal. There's no benefit to the wide receivers to help them kind of lift up towards the running backs. So running backs are always guaranteed to get carries. Wide receivers, there's no guarantee you're going to get a pass even thrown your way for a game. So PPR kind of gives you that little edge more for wide receivers that makes them equal with running backs.
Yeah.
So to me, it's PPR is a no-brainer. It brings up the value of the other player. You know, you have two wide receivers and a tight end, so you have three spots there that are dependent on, you know, on catching the football.
And I think, it brings up the strategy level because, you know, if you're in non-PPR, you either have running backs that are going to crush everybody or you're getting crushed. You know, there's no – it's just – it's more of a total team concept, I think, in PPR leagues, and that's why I like them.
And PPR also gives a benefit to your running backs that
who
are
– also catch passes,
Yep. So I'm definitely on board with the PPR over non-PPR. If you can get a PPR league, that would be the best way to go.
Yep, that we both agree that we enjoy those the most. So is there anything, when we're just doing our general overview of fantasy football, that you'd like to throw out there to somebody who is uninitiated but is interested in the game?
It takes a little bit of time to learn it. I will say this much. But, you know, you're learning things and new strategies every year. Everything changes. It's one of those things that you kind of have to know football, but you don't at the same time.
That's what I was about to ask next. Would you agree with me that you don't really have to be an NFL fan to be good at fantasy football or to have a fun time playing fantasy football?
No, you don't have to be. It's a lot of watching trends and acting on them before anybody else does.
Yeah.
If you see a quarterback that, you know, you can look at the raw numbers and what they've done, and you can see they're on a down slide, you can capitalize on that just because there's some people that will go just on name brand alone. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that a lot, and you'll probably get a lot of that discussion here today because there's a lot of players that I know in one of my leagues anyways, I know, that are going to go way high just because they have that name brand, while I'm sitting there taking people that are not nationally, you know, they're not the ones getting the commercials, let's say.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are making me the most points compared to their players.
Yeah. Well, a perfect example was Antonio Brown last year, who, I mean, people knew he was a good player, but nobody knew he was going to be the best player. Did you know that only in a PPR format that only three quarterbacks scored more points than Antonio Brown? Like, he was on a fucking island by himself as far as production goes for skill players. So,
well, I'm well aware because he was my secret weapon in my money league.
Yeah.
And our dynasty league.
He was your horse that you rode to the end. Good stuff. Okay, so what we're going to go over today for the fantasy football special is we're going to go over the top three, five, the top prospects at every position, the consensus from all the big experts, who they think the top five are, and we're going to give our opinions on those guys. Then we're going to go people who myself and Ty are targeting in our upcoming drafts that we'll be doing in our money leagues. Like you guys are probably aware if you listen to the show regularly, Ty and myself are we play against each other in a dynasty league, but we save this for the regular every year new team, your regular standard fantasy football setup. So we're going to give that to you guys, and then we are going to go with value sleepers that people might not be talking too much about, but we're going to tell you guys about them here. And since the show is a little bit more on the down low than what your usual mainstream fantasy football stuff is going to be, you know, maybe not that many people are going to hear the stuff we're talking about here today, so that'll be even more of the inside track for all of you guys out there. So, Ty, you ready to rock this out, man?
Let's do it.
The first thing I wanted to jump into is a lot of the big experts out there like to go with a strategy, a zero quarterback strategy, where they wait and wait and wait and wait all day on their quarterback, and they'll sit there and profess this to everybody and tell you that you need to wait on your quarterback and don't do it. But honestly, in my opinion, it depends on who you're playing against. What does your league look like? Because if you're not playing against people who are seasoned veterans who, you know, are into this kind of stuff, they're going to take those quarterbacks. Like, there's no, you know, in this, in these rankings, they have Andrew Luck, who is going to fucking destroy everyone this year at the quarterback position. They have him ranked at the number 38th overall player, meaning in a 12-team or 10-team format, he's going to still be there in, like, the bottom of the third round. There's no fucking way that's going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen. No way. So no. Don't let yourself get caught up looking down your nose at everyone else because of these, what these experts say, and then missing out on players because you're not being realistic about who you're playing against in your league.
You got to pay attention to how the draft is going.
Yeah.
For instance, we'll go with my one money league that I have. Everybody puts a high premium at quarterback in my league.
See? So you don't want to be the guy waiting in that league, but you know that.
But I did. But here's the difference, though. I did, because what happened was, last year LeSean McCoy was the pretty much consensus number one overall player last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going into the draft. Every league I played in, he was always number one, except for this certain league. And that's because everybody put such a high premium on quarterbacks. Your first picks were like was Manning, was Breeze, Rodgers. Even Matthew Stafford went in the first round last year.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, pretty much the reaction I had when I saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
I rolled up late. I was at a party all weekend, and I was running in late, and I just got there just in time for my pick, and I was like it's a 10-team league, and I was eighth, and I just rolled up just in time for my pick. I looked at the board, and LeSean McCoy was still there at number 8.
All right.
Which was unfucking heard of. Like, he shouldn't have dropped 3. You know, the lowest I would have seen him would be 3, and he was still there at 8. I grabbed him up immediately, and I went to work on building my running backs and receivers, because at that point in time, all the top run quarterbacks were taken already.
Yeah.
So there's no point in scrambling to grab a quarterback if they're already gone.
Yeah, absolutely not. You got to look at, you know, value is something that will play a role in what we talk about today too. It's got to look at value of what you can get, where you can get it. Who is your number one player this year? Not who you're going to target or who I'm going to target, because we'll get into that later. But just unbiased opinion. Who do you think is the best bet if somebody had a number one pick? There you go. If somebody, one of our listeners out there, had the number one pick, who do you recommend them take? I think our pick is going to be the same.
I would say number one overall, it'd either be Le'Veon Bell or Jamal Charles.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're one of those people. You're going to be one of those people.
Yes, because
you know that Le'Veon Bell is suspended for the first four games of the year.
Right, but he's such a value that I think you can get away with it.
He's a value at number one? He's not going to play for the first four games?
Yeah.
Sir.
Yes.
Okay.
He tore it up so goddamn much last year that, yeah, you might have struggled for your first four games, but if you could get a solid backup in there and build the rest of your team up, Le'Veon Bell comes back, tears it up for 12 more games for you.
If he does.
Your money.
Well, you know who Le'Veon Bell did not score more points than in a PPR format? Fucking Antonio Brown. And that's who I would tell everybody to go with, and who I am going to go with. I end up in the unenviable position of having the number one pick. It's not even going to require consideration from me. Antonio Brown is the fucking man. He scored by far more points than any other running back or receiver out there last year. There's no reason to think that he can't duplicate it this year. He's not, especially in the beginning when Le'Veon Bell, they play on the same team, the Steelers.
Yep.
Le'Veon Bell's not going to be there. They're going to have to throw the ball more. It's another year in the Todd Haley offense.
But
there's no reason to think that he's not the duplicate. And my whole thing, and we'll get on this later when we go to draft strategies, my whole thing this year is safety. Guaranteed production. Guaranteed. Yep. You know, built in, every week, Antonio Brown is going to act a fool. Every week, you are going to get solid production out of him.
Here's the thing. I've never had the number one pick overall.
Me neither. Thank God. Yeah.
I always hope I'm at towards the end of the first round.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So
I'm hoping that big time this year. We'll get to when we get to our personal situations later. I'll talk all about it.
What I'm saying though is that you running backs are a rarity for guaranteed production.
Yep. Running backs have the highest bust rate out of anybody.
Yep. So there's a scarcity at running back. There is a fucking plethora of receivers to choose from. Just a ridiculous amount of players that can get you some serious money for points.
Yeah.
There's not that many for running backs.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a number one wide receiver easily by the end of the second round, provided you're in a draft.
Okay. You put it that way. I got you. But if the receivers are so deep, then you can get Antonio Brown, and then you can get another good one later and have two number one receivers tearing it up.
And run with absolutely zero running backs.
But we just covered that running backs can bust out really easily. So why not go with the safety of having two receivers and not hedge my bets on a running back. But I guess that's just my whole point anyways. Think you're going with somebody safe at running back, and they'll end up fucking you anyway.
What I'm saying, though, is,
mm-hmm.
you get a running back. Because there's going to – if everyone drafts like everyone typically does, because we can't go based off of what our drafts are going. I can talk about mine all day, but mine is a complete fucking outlier compared to everybody else's draft. Your running backs are going to fucking be off the board real goddamn quick. You might be stuck – you know.
It's true.
You might be able to get – you might get RB2. It really depends how you want to build your team. If you get two very good running backs, you are fucking set. For last year, I had LeSean McCoy as one of my running backs. Now, he wasn't as great as he was the year before, but he had solid production for me. I didn't have to worry about my running backs too much, and adding Jeremy Hill later on made it even easier for me.
Well, that's what a lot of people who drafted Adrian Peterson thought. You know what? We are fucking this up right now, because we are already going into draft strategies, and we did not even cover the top players. We're going to get into this in a minute. Anyways. But, quarterbacks.
Okay, let me finish real quick on that first round pick. Your safe money is to get a top running back, one way or another. There are some strategies to say zero running back, and you can get by with that. But
I don't support that.
It's going back to that PPR non-PPR thing. Even though I said PPR makes wide receivers equal, running backs you're guaranteed going to get those touches if you have a top flight running back. Jamaal Charles is going to get the rock. Adrian Peterson is going to get the rock. DeMarco Murray is going to get the rock. You can fucking guarantee it, provided there's no injuries. And obviously, you can't take that into consideration. You can take that into consideration to a point when drafting. But if you get a player that you know will get the rock and has a history of producing, you're in good shape. Wide receivers, you can get a number one wide receiver, I think, all the way down to the round three. Easily.
And that's very why easy. And that's why I'm going to have three of them. But anyways, we'll get into that in a minute. We'll get to the heat in a little while. Okay. FantasyFootballPros.com. There you go. All the promos. The top five. Yeah, we're on quarterbacks.
All right.
Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. Andrew Luck, we're going to get to this in a minute, our personal strategies. But Andrew Luck, I think he's going to be so fucking incredible this year that I'm not even going to bat an eye at taking him in the first round if I can't get Antonio Brown. I'll fucking do it. I'll be that guy who everyone's like, oh, I'm waiting on a quarterback, bro. I'm waiting on it. And then fucking somebody will be that person that's like, fuck you. Okay, I'll take him. And then everybody will start taking their quarterbacks. I'm going to be that guy this year because I am that in love with what this Indianapolis Colts offense is going to bring to the table, what Andrew Luck's going to be able to do. He was already amazing last year. They added Andre Johnson. They added one of the best screen pass catching ability running backs in Frank Gore. They drafted a gadget player who can take bubble screens to the house at any time in Philip Dorsett. They already have one of the best players at doing exactly what I just said in T.Y. Hilton. Oh my God! This offense is going to be fucking insane.
to fill your tank.
Yeah, pretty much. Is America's most last year, for instance, we talked about waiting for a quarterback. Andrew Luck was my quarterback I waited on last year. Just to put that into perspective.
Yeah.
Luck was not on the radar as a top quarterback last year. I got him in the sixth fucking round after
A lot of people fucking pulled that fast one.
Hey, it is what it is.
Bastards. Yeah.
Luck's number one. I think you have a 1A and 1B. I don't think you can go wrong with Luck or Rodgers.
Can't go wrong.
It's 1A and 1B.
The only thing that concerns me about Rodgers is his injury history. He's a little bit brittle. When he takes hits, he gets hurt faster. You know, he has a history of getting knocked out for extensive amounts of times. That concerns me. But I can understand somebody, you know, still going for it.
Just the numbers he puts up is ridiculous. He's the smoothest passer in the league.
Yeah, very accurate. Probably the most accurate quarterback in the league, yep.
Yeah, I would still put him as the top quarterback in the league by far. Luck finally ascended here, and he put up higher numbers. But if you want bona fide, guaranteed numbers.
I think Luck's more of a guarantee because he never gets hurt. He's been getting the shit beat out of him for years, and he never misses a game. Rodgers, on the other hand, can take a hit, and he already has a history of a broken collarbone. He already has a history of a concussion.
To play devil's advocate, wouldn't that mean then that Luck's due for an injury eventually?
I guess, maybe. I mean,
I'm just saying.
You can go either way. You can say it's proof of durability, or he's due for an injury.
I don't think you could go wrong with either one. To be honest with you, if you get this, you got your numbers as a quarterback are going to be far superior to everyone else that you play. And that's going to be a nice advantage.
And that's, you know, once again, the strategy that we'll get into later. That's what I'm looking for this year. I am looking for built-in guaranteed advantage.
Yep. So moving on here, we have Russell Wilson.
I'm side-eyeing that a little bit.
Yeah,
giving that one the side eye. That's number three.
I'm not feeling that.
Number three!
You got to take his rushing into consideration, too.
You do, but goddamn, number three? No. No, thanks. No. I think Jimmy Graham's going to help a lot.
Not that much,
That'll be good, but not that much. Number three, I would not...
There's still a running team.
I wouldn't fuck with Russell Wilson until... If I was drafting Russell Wilson, it would be in a situation where I decided to go zero quarterback, and I picked, you know, I picked my receivers and my running backs and my tight end all before I went quarterback. I would never take him over a lot of the guys that he's ranked over the top of. I don't agree with number three at all.
No, I don't either.
I mean, you got guys like Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger who are not even in the top five that I would take in a heartbeat before I'd take Russell Wilson.
Or even Tony Romo that's down at nine.
Yeah, Tony Romo's down at nine. I'm not a big Wilson fan.
No.
He will be a good pickup for you if, and you know what? He might be able to be in our value section because I just don't think that people view him as a top five fantasy quarterback yet in an overall sense.
Oh, I think there's people that do. He went way high in my league last year.
Did he? Yeah, no, he was on. I picked him up off the waiver wire in my Yahoo league last year.
Really?
Yeah, immediately before he started to fucking do nothing every week. That was beautiful. but he.
No, there's people that for whatever reason value him way higher than what he's actually worth in fantasy.
If you're not in one of those leagues, though, he could be a very good value pickup later on. That might be end up being if I can't. If I end up being in a position to take Antonio Brown, Russell Wilson might be somebody who I'll look at later on in the draft. I have just about zero faith in Peyton Manning. What about you?
I don't have as much faith in him anymore as I did last year.
Yeah.
If he fell to me at the right position, I would be all for it. Because it's still Peyton fucking Manning.
That's the thing. Everybody out there listening... If you're in a league with, this is once again, you got to know your league. You got to know who you're drafting against. If you're in a league of fucking idiots, there's a decent chance Manning's going to go pretty high because he has the name value. If you're in a league with people who know what they're doing, you have a pretty good shot at getting a pretty decent value out of Manning, I think, because I think a lot of people who are really into fantasy football feel the same way that I do and feel the same way that Ty kind of does, where I think he might be done. Not done as far as, I mean, he'll still get 30, 35 touchdowns, but I think they're going to be a lot more run-based this year.
He's not going to put up.
And I think he's kind of falling apart. He's, you know, Father Time is undefeated, and I think it just about caught up to him last year.
Yeah. He was dealing with an injury towards the end of the year that no one fucking talked about, which makes me think that was just an excuse more than anything.
Yeah, that's kind of a shady situation, yeah.
I think he comes back, they run the ball more, but I think that if they run the ball successfully, that opens up the passing game for Manning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he'll still put up numbers. I don't think it's going to be Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers tier.
Yeah. No, hell no.
But no.
The only person I think got the chance to that has Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Which, him being number fucking 7 is goddamn unthinkable to me, but whatever. He won't be around as long as a 7th ranked quarterback should be. I'll tell you all that.
God, I hope he is.
Me too.
I'd love to have him that late.
Oh, especially if I take Antonio Brown first too. Shit, give me that double dip. I'll be
fucking right
dunking
there
on people.
Because you and I have talked about it before. I'm if I don't get a shot at Luck or Rodgers, which I am pretty sure I won't be, if I get the spot I want in my league. Yeah. I'm going for a 2-quarterback, I can play off matchups.
Yeah.
Which we can go down the strategy later on, too.
Yeah, yeah. And then rounding up top 5, it's Drew Brees. Always trusty, always reliable.
Not as good as he used to be.
I think things are going to be a little different down there, and I think the team is showing that they're going to be a little different with him. I think they're going to try and run the ball a little bit more, be a little bit more of a physical team. I don't know if I would take him. I don't think I would take him over Ben Roethlisberger.
I wouldn't.
I really don't think so. I don't think I'd take him over Tony Romo either.
No. I have Roethlisberger and Romo on my top 5 for quarterbacks. I'd have Luck, Rodgers. Luck, Rodgers, Big Ben, Romo. Stafford's ranked a lot lower than I think he should be. He's ranked 12th right now.
He fucked a lot of people last year.
I
think a lot of people got a bad taste in their mouth over that.
He did, but he still puts up ridiculous amount of passing yards. And I think Megatron's going to be healthy this year. So I think he should be higher up. Anyways, I'd say Luck, Rodgers, Big Ben, Romo, and Manning would probably be my top 5.
Yeah, we'll go back over who we like in a minute. We'll go over running backs now, the consensus picks for running backs, PPR format. Le'Veon, that's who you went with.
We talked about it.
Le'Veon Bell, you guys use your own discretion out there. He's out for the first 4 games of the year.
If you know what you're doing and you can build your team so that you can withstand that 4-game suspension.
That's tough, though, man.
It's tough.
Fantasy football seasons do not go on forever. If you start off your year 1-0-4, 1-3, that's a hell of a hole to climb out of. That's a hell of a lot of counting on Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I've done it before, so it's not that big a deal.
Well, you don't know if the people out there have done it before.
I ripped off 8 games in a row to make the playoffs with an absolute shit team, but that's beside the point. Anyways, running backs, yeah. Le'Veon Bell, his numbers were ridiculous last year. Can he repeat? I think he can with Big Ben in that passing offense. He's going to put up some numbers.
God, look at this top 5. Let me go get my silk suit out and my top hat and my cane because I'm about to be at the player haters ball because I'm fucking going to be hating on all these people in a second.
Adrian, I'm kind of surprised Peterson's at number 2.
I'm not.
Well,
he's the only one that I do feel comfortable with. I mean,
I love the hell out of him, obviously.
They're going to feed him the rock.
What I'm saying is I'm very surprised they got him ranked this high again.
He's fresh legs. He's going to be fucking pissed.
I'm just saying from experts, typically experts, if a player doesn't play for you, they put him pretty low on their list. So for him to be number 2 was kind of eye-opening. Would that be okay to say?
I like Peterson. I think he's going to be. I don't know if I would. I wouldn't cash in because like you know, I'm going to talk about my strategy in a minute, but I wouldn't cash in on him, but I would not blame anybody for taking him. I think he's going to be balls out this year for reals.
If I get my position that I want and he's there, he's mine. I mean, okay. There's no question about it. He's what I was kind of hoping for, and if this holds, this kind of ranking holds true for across the board that everyone else looks at, he's going to be going really super early, and it's going to piss me off because I'd really like to snag him in the second round. For one of those, people are going to get scared off of him. I did that. I pulled that off when he came back from his ACL injury.
Fucking paid out pretty well on that.
Yep. Jamaal Charles. I love Jamaal Charles. He is one of the most efficient by numbers that my research has showed that he is the most efficient running back in the NFL.
Okay. And my issue, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, I like him and I like the numbers he's put up, but my issue with him is that he is 5'8", 200 pounds, and has touched the ball a fucking lot. And that just concerns me very, very deeply. That I just don't know how long he can possibly keep it. It's just a matter of time, in my opinion, to where he's done, or at least out for the year.
Fine, I'll ride him. I'll ride him until he's dust on.
I know you're a fucking Jamaal Charles fucking zealot. So you're like up there making sacrifices to the altar of Jamaal Charles. So I know how you feel. I just don't trust it. He's too small. He's too small and had too many carries and catches over the years.
They've been saying he's been too small since he started the league, and he's been
exactly
good every
so he's
season.
Due. He's due to get fucked any day now.
I'm just saying from a proven aspect, he's just been money every fucking year. Last year was kind of an off year for him, and he was still like fucking number two or number three in the league.
Eddie Lacy, another guy. Everybody's fucking in love with Eddie Lacy. Loves Eddie
Lacy. Championship. I love him.
But let me tell you something. Two concussions. He's a running back, and he's a power running back.
Bowling ball.
Once again, it's just the way I feel. It's just a matter of time. After you get those first two, it's easy to get 3 and 4. And after 3 and 4, you're a power running back in the NFL. You're fucking done. It's waiting to happen. Any given play, he's going to get another one. It's just how I feel.
He started off a little slow.
Because he got a concussion! Yep.
Started slow, but even before the concussion, he was starting slow. But once Green Bay figured out that they fed him the rock, I think, what was it, like at least 15 times a game?
Yeah.
The dude was unfucking stoppable.
He was.
He's one of those backs that he's kind of like a Marshawn Lynch. He can just beat the shit out of your defense.
Exactly. So you're bludgeoning other people with your helmet, with your head, and you've already had concussions. You're susceptible to concussions. There's no reason to think that that's not going to happen again in the very near future.
Fair enough point.
That's why I'm staying away. You guys do what you want. It's understandable to love Eddie Lacy. He's in a great offense. He did good towards the end of the year last year. I'm just very concerned about the concussions.
You can say that about a lot of people with their injury history.
Yeah, but concussions are so, like I said, they have such a history of monsters one, of being recurring is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Receivers.
We didn't do 5 yet.
I thought Lacy was number 5, wasn't he?
He was 4.
Well, Forte, let me tell y'all something here.
So we need to talk about Forte because
I got a stat drop on everybody here. Now, running backs, as we know, can drop off the face of the fucking earth at a drop of a hat. And most people attribute it to the age in actual chronological human years. What people really should be looking at is the amount of touches. The amount of times the running back either catches or runs the ball and takes a hit. Touches. That will age a running back and slow down his productivity more than anything else. the top three guys in the league right now for touches from 1 to 3 are Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch, and Matt Forte. Adrian Peterson doesn't count because he's an alien. He's not a human being. But Forte, I think you are going to be all right this year because that offense is going to feed him the rock a lot. I think he's going to have lots of opportunity, but I just don't know how much production is going to come out of those opportunities.
Forte's value also is tied into his catching ability out of the backfield.
Yeah, but this offense doesn't really throw the ball to the running backs that much.
It did last year, but it won't now. Last year he had, what was it, like fucking 90 some catches?
Oh, yeah, he broke a record. I had him in our Dynasty League. I know. But the offense has changed. He's not going to be catching it anymore. He's going to be running a shit ton. I just, like I said, I don't know how many. Now,
so
the thing is I think he's going to be okay, but you got people taking him in the top fucking five. And
yeah.
Hell no.
There's a lot of other running backs I would like to have instead of Forte.
Yep.
Backs that are just pure runners. Not necessarily backs that catch the ball out of the backfield. Because like I said, that's tied intricately into Forte's value because that's what he's always brought to the table. Mm-hmm. But if he goes from 90 catches down to, let's say, 40 catches and 500 yards less, that's a huge amount of points dropping off. And I don't know if he's got the ability as a pure running back to recoup that value just on his rushing alone. So the scheme does.
I think both of us are advising everybody to be cautious with building your team around Matt Forte. He could be a good pickup.
I would like him as a running back too. I would not go him as my first running back. But
I mean, I go RB1 depending on if I got Andrew Luck and Rob Gronkowski,
Well, obviously, yeah, but you know, most people that are going to draft Forte, they're going to be like their first or second pick.
Yeah, and that's, I wouldn't in 1,000 years.
No, like I said, he'd be good if he fell a third or fourth round. I would definitely snag him then. The value's too good there, but just. He's not going to have the numbers that he's had.
I wouldn't count on him to be your best guy.
No.
As he has been in the past.
No way.
Receivers, I think, is actually going to be pretty quick, pretty easy. Because Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, I am 100% okay with all of them. And I think you could besides Antonio Brown. But those other three, Thomas, Jones, or Bryant, I think you could interchange them all day long and be completely happy. My only warning would be is that for whatever reason, Jones does not seem to catch a lot of touchdowns. So yep. I would be cautious with that as far as your planning.
Yeah, pretty much. I would put – well, I know we talked about Manning not being as good as he was last year, so I'm just a little bit leery of Thomas.
Okay.
Not enough to prevent me from drafting him, but I would probably go Julio Jones or Dez Bryant above him.
Okay. See, I get what you're saying, but the lack of touchdowns scares me with Jones. He also had some foot and ankle situation issues last year, which can be recurring. So I'd probably take Dez or Demaryius above him. But like we said, you can't go wrong with any of these guys, and obviously especially Antonio Brown, since he is an easy top three overall pick.
Yep.
The one that I do. And we are going to be on the opposite sides of the world on this one. Everyone, hold on to your chairs to hear me say this. I don't like Odell Beckham at number 5. Yeah, I fucking said it.
You're a fucking heretic.
I said it!
No, actually, I do agree with you.
He is having hamstring problems still, right now. He's still having recurring hamstring issues.
Yeah, he had them last year, too. What people don't realize is Odell Beckham had a phenomenal year last year.
Historic. An outlier. Just ridiculous.
I don't think that's going to be a year-to-year thing, obviously.
Fuck no.
I'll put it like this. I would much rather have a Jordy Nelson
Yeah.
at instead of Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to get taken way too fucking high this year.
Everybody. Yep, that's the thing. Everyone's Everyone slow your roll. You go ahead and let somebody else in your league take him in the first round and be cool with it. And take a Jordy Nelson. And take A.J. Green. Take Randall Cobb. Take one of those. Yeah, don't fucking... Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Hell no.
Yeah, or take Megatron even.
I'm not super hot on Megatron. Gets hurt a lot. Getting old.
Yeah, 1 year he got hurt. It was last year.
He was out the year before that. 2 years ago. Don't you tell me it was just last year. Because 2 years ago, he fucked me bad. Because that was the fucking week when the Lions decided they weren't going to say that he was injured until 30 fucking minutes before the game started.
That was last year.
It happened 2 years ago, too.
Oh, that was... Okay, it was last year.
No, I know it would happen 2 years ago because I was on a business trip for work and was in a place where I could only get to internet in certain areas, and so once I woke up, because the time difference, once I woke up and things were already happening, I could not get to the internet quickly enough to fucking change my lineup, and so I had to take a fucking zero from goddamn Calvin Johnson for that day, and that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, happened to me last year too, but I would say with Megatron, I think he's going to be healthy again this year. He's 100%. He's money when he's healthy, and
absolutely.
Shit, if everyone takes those five, if everyone takes those five and Megatron keeps dropping, I have no problem. Absolutely none taking him in the second.
Yeah.
Zero issues taking
him in the second. It would depend on who else is there.
Yeah.
If I would take AJ Green over him, I would take Jordy Nelson over him.
That's what I'm saying, though. If the likes of Green and Nelson go before Megatron, I would take Megatron. He'd be my number.
It depends on what's going
because
on.
Because you know how Stafford likes to go. He likes to throw to Megatron.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Golden Tate don't mean shit to me if Megatron is healthy.
But he is not healthy all the time. Hey. These are the opinions that everybody out there has to take into account.
Yep.
All right, we're already almost fucking... We're rolling right along here. Old tight ends.
Gronk.
Yeah, there's really nothing else to talk about. maybe I should save this for the strategy or people I like deal later on. Gronk, if he stays healthy, is... what the one thing I will say, strategy-wise, is people are going to... If you are one of those people out there that are down that will take Gronk in the first round, people are going to try and talk shit on you. But I will tell you something right now. Having a dominant tight end is like having an extra player.
Yep.
Because he will be so much... He will easily double the production of any other team you're playing. Any other tight end that you're going against, he will easily double their production the majority of weeks. 99% of the time. It's like having an extra player. It's a huge advantage. So don't let people talk shit on you for taking Gronk in the first round.
The advantage with Gronkowski is unparalleled in fantasy football right
there's
now.
There's nothing else like it. Yep.
There never has been, I don't think.
There fucking has been. Fucking Jimmy Graham 2 years ago. The goddamn motherfucker who won the league that I was in. Jimmy Graham was out of control. It was impossible to beat his team because Jimmy Graham was so fucking ridiculous 2 years ago.
Right.
But anyways.
Here's the thing. Is like the advantage from Gronkowski to the second tight end, which ironically enough is Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
In the rankings and I think in everyone's heart. The advantage overall in points and from week to week is so goddamn ridiculous that there's nothing another team can do against it. There's absolutely nothing they can do because even like your number one receiver compared to like your number 30 receiver doesn't have that disadvantage that Gronk has to the number two tight end.
Yep.
The
differential between this guy and everybody else is just an immense gulf, a chasm, if you will, between him and everybody else. So don't be scared grabbing Gronk in the first.
Nope.
I'm not going to be.
Just prepared to get yourself a receiver right away because he ain't going to go right early in the first. He will be – if you're late first round and Gronk is there –
Wait, I would not have – my ultimate strategy is grabbing Luck at the bottom of the first and Gronk at the top of the second, if it's at all possible, because then I will have two players that give me an automatic advantage over every single team that I play. And after that, all I got to do is just do a decent fucking job for the rest of it, and I'll be good to go. Jimmy Graham, I think his touchdowns are going to be okay. I think his yards are going to be way down. But yards and catches, obviously.
Yeah, he's going from a Drew Brees-led offense to a running team.
And what's funny is this is going to be one of those situations where his real-life impact is going to be way bigger than his fantasy impact. Real-life impact, I mean, the Seahawks, like we already covered, they might win the fucking Super Bowl this year if they can keep their shit together, because Graham added to that offense is going to be a weapon that they have not had anything close to. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be great fantasy. I got him down for probably 55, 60 catches, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns.
That sounds about fair, yeah. I'd go with that. There's not many tight ends you're going to find that go 1,000 yards. Gronk's a guarantee,
pretty much going to be the only guy who I'll feel comfortable saying is going to go for 1,000.
Yep.
Once again, everybody's darling, old T. Kelsey, Travis Kelsey for the Kansas City Chiefs, ranked number 3.
Why?
Everybody loves this guy. He never stays healthy. I don't know why people are so into it. He gets hurt every year. I'm not fucking with that. There's no fucking way. No way.
Nope. Not no way, not no how. Number 4, though, Greg Olsen. I will fuck with him. Oh, dude. Olsen was a beast last year.
He was, but he's getting up there in age, man. He's getting up there in age, and bringing in Funchess and the continued development of Kelvin Benjamin, I think, is going to take away targets from him. I mean, I'm not. If you can get him at a good value, I would completely encourage it. But I don't think he's going to duplicate what he did last year.
He was my number 2 tight end after I picked up Jordan Cameron. So I mean, that worked out well for me.
Yeah, and then I don't know. I haven't Bennett ranked number 5. Martellus Bennett.
I think he's
going to fall way off.
Yeah, I'm not
way trust- off. John Fox, that new offense, doesn't really, I don't think, feature the tight end. Julius Thomas did pretty well in it, but you don't know if it's going to be an altered version of the offense that they ran in Denver, because Peyton Manning ran the fucking offense in Denver, I don't know.
Jay Cutler is not Peyton Manning, so...
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, now that we've covered the top 5 at all of our major positions, what are you going for here this year, buddy? What's your... Who do you like? Who do you personally like? What's going to be your draft strategy? Something I think we both agree on that I'm going to tell everybody is... Do not let yourself get locked into a strategy when you go in there.
Gotta be flexible,
see where your draft is going. My plan is, you know, go quarterback big up top and then receivers. Quarterback and 3 receivers, like I was talking about earlier. Because I feel like that's the most guaranteed safe points that I'm going to be able to count on every week. But if crazy things are happening in the draft and there's, you know, a running back that I feel really strongly about that's available at a crazy value, I gotta go with him. You know, you gotta be flexible. You have to have an idea what you would like to do, but you gotta stay flexible. What are you looking to do in your draft this year, Ty?
Well, it really depends on where I'm sitting at. If I am in the top spots, I'm going Luck or Rodgers, like you are. I'm gonna grab a quarterback that's
a cut above the rest.
Right, because I know everybody's going to be jumping on that quarterback bandwagon again. Or because everyone kind of got burned by that last year, they might flip-flop now.
Yeah.
And they might not take a quarterback for a while either. Which way, if I get Luck or Rodgers, I'm at a huge advantage over everybody else, except for the guy that's got the other quarterback I didn't take. I can live with that. If I'm back in the first round and all those quarterbacks get taken again, which I'm kind of banking on, I'm going to be looking at, depending on what running backs are available, I'm going to beef up my running backs again right away. Or if the running backs I get taken that I want, that I know are going in the first round, I will go either Gronkowski or Antonio Brown, no questions asked. I kind of like my last. I'd rather go wide receiver first because I think there's a lot of value at running back this year compared to any year that I've played fantasy football.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a ton of value to be had. One guy I'm really targeting for that I think people are going to overlook is Jeremy Hill.
You think so? Well, I don't know if the general population is overlooking him, but I know that fantasy insider, like people who know their shit in fantasy, fucking love Jeremy Hill. So, I don't know. I've heard of him going top five in some drafts, so...
And it's very possible.
I wish you the best of luck on that, but I think people know.
I'm talking about the main draft that I focus on mostly because that's the ones I make money off of, obviously. Yeah, yeah. Jeremy Hill's going to get slept on.
Okay.
I know for a
good
fact.
Good for you.
I know for a fact he is. I'm developing this strategy based off of how I know the rest of the league goes. And these are guys that have been playing fantasy football longer than I have, and they get stuck in their ways. Whereas I always adapt and modify my strategies.
Okay.
So depending on how the draft is going, if I see it's going, then I'll go wide receivers and tight ends. I will go against the grain a little bit.
Okay.
And I'll grab a top flight quarterback. Otherwise, if not, quarterback wise, I'm looking at maybe getting. I'm really feeling Eli Manning this year. I think he's gonna have a nice year.
And you're gonna be able to get him at a value most likely. Yeah.
So I'm going to be looking at getting like a two quarterback system almost. What I'm really playing with is not necessarily a zero quarterback strategy, but it's going to be one that I'm going to try and get the best matchup every week possible. So if I got something like an Eli Manning and a Matthew Stafford or a Phillip Rivers kind of combination, I can play, okay, well, Eli plays this defense this week and you know he plays Seattle. Well, I'm not playing him that week. But Phillip Rivers is playing, you know, fucking Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You know, play the matchups. Mm-hmm. Defense-wise, I'm going to do the same shit. I'm just going to grab a couple defenses because this league, you have to carry two defenses. It's kind of an archaic rule they have that kind of made their league stand out, quote-unquote, which I don't really give a fuck about anyways.
Yeah, if you want a league that stands out, join the league that we're in, that we run. Yeah. That's a league that stands out.
Yeah. So defensive-wise, I'm doing the same shit. I'll just stream defenses. I will pick up and drop defenses left and right. I'm not going to spend a high pick to grab someone like Seattle.
Hell no. Fuck
that. The point differential just doesn't make a difference. If I get a defense that's got great matchups, I keep them. Once their matchups suck, I'll drop them and get a different one that's got a great matchup.
I think the only defense you're going to be able to go with this year that's going to be a major point differential over the rest of them are the Rams. They have that crazy... What's that?
You think so?
Oh, yeah. They have an insane defensive line. They added Nick Fairley to what was already one of the best defensive lines in the league. Nick Fairley to that. They play in a division where you're not talking huge offenses. Right. That in and of itself is going to help. The Cardinals aren't super scary offensively. They're decent offenses, but nobody there is scoring 30 points a game.
Right.
The Seahawks aren't. The 49ers damn fucking sure aren't. And Arizona isn't. So that, coupled with the fact that they have an amazing defensive line where most leagues give you points for sacks, not to mention a good special teams with Tavon Austin, kick return and punt return, I think they're going to – I'm going to take all my starters and all my backups first, but I think that they're going to be a difference maker as far as defenses go.
Right. And they're probably going to get slept on too a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Overall, the strategy, it's going to be a very fluid what's the draft looking like and react from there.
Who do you like at receiver outside of the top five?
Out of top
and Megatron, five. Obviously.
Yeah. Let me grab receivers here. Well, obviously, I like Nelson and Cobb. I would I'd like to get Randall Cobb again. That guy was money last year. Probably won't put up the same numbers he did as far as touchdowns are concerned, but the catches and yards are there as Rodgers' number two receiver. No questions about that. T.Y., probably going to put up some numbers still. I'm not too afraid.
You think so? I'm worried about all the other targets they have out there. He's going to throw the ball. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be great for Andrew Luck, but he's going to be tossing it to Fleener a lot. He's going to be tossing it to Johnson, Frank Gore. Dorsett, I'm concerned about Hilton's production going down a little bit.
He's still going to have numbers, though. He's still going to be Luck's number one target. No question about that. That's the best you can ask for on a receiver, man, is be the top target for a good quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about... I mean, Mike Evans put up some serious numbers last year.
Oh, I'm fucking... You see, you just stole one from me because I'm a first class ticket holder on the Mike Evans train. That's gonna be
That sickens me because I actually drafted him last year like way late.
Yeah,
and he just sucked beginning of the year, so I dropped his ass to get someone that could actually help me out. And then end of the year, he came back and almost haunted me, almost knocked me out of the playoffs because of that.
That offense is quarterback friendly. He's another year in the system, in the NFL learning. He upgraded his quarterback by, miles from the Glennon McCown poo-poo platter shit sandwich they had last year.
Yeah.
Winston's fucking accurate. He's going to throw a lot of picks. He's going to do a lot of crazy things. Probably be the most hilarious player in the league. But he's also going to put up some fucking numbers. And Evans is going to be a huge recipient of that. I'm all aboard the Mike Evans train.
And I will also say that same thing about Vincent Jackson, too.
Yeah, oh yeah. Vincent Jackson, too, won't be a bad... I would love Vincent Jackson as a receiver three.
Yep.
Love him.
Everyone's sleeping on him. I got him in our Dynasty League, and I'm like, nope, I'm keeping this motherfucker. I even traded Mike Wallace. I traded a Viking over Vincent Jackson. Let's just put it like that.
You got any sleepers, any guys that you like at tight end outside of the top five?
Josh Hill. At New Orleans.
Yeah.
Taking over that spot for Jimmy Graham. He's athletic. I don't know if he'll put the numbers up Graham did, but he'll get you some points. Especially after they traded Kenny Stills. The receiving corps got decimated.
Yep.
So someone's got to take...
Speaking of which, get ready for the Brandon Cook show. If you weren't already fucking on that train, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, live up to it, but he's going to have all the opportunity in the world to act insane next year.
Yeah, I'm not feeling Brandon Cooks a whole lot. I know he's the number one receiver by default, but he didn't show me much last year even.
Yeah.
Small dude. If you want to talk about small running backs, we're talking about a small wide receiver.
Yeah.
Cornerbacks are getting bigger.
They are.
We've always gone from huge, tall, wide receivers versus 5'9" cornerbacks that are speedy as hell. Now we're getting to the point that everyone's shifting over to a bigger cornerback to combat that, and they're shutting down these smaller receivers too, just based on the size differential.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of concerned. He got hurt last year too. He's got a lot of potential, but I'm not 100% sure if he can keep up as a number one for Drew Brees. And not only that, like we said, they're going to be running the ball more. I'm not taking him at number, they got him ranked as the 14th receiver right now, which would basically put him as a number two.
I think he can do worse as a receiver too.
But you got the likes of Emmanuel Sanders and Julian Edelman.
True. I would love him. Emmanuel Sanders is a receiver two all day next year. All day.
Yeah.
But he's probably, unfortunately for everybody out there, Emmanuel Sanders is probably going to be getting way overdrafted this year.
Yeah.
He'd be a wonderful receiver too. I don't want to pay the price that you'll need to pay for him to be receiver one. So that sucks.
Yeah. Otherwise, there's a lot of good talent at wide receiver. It's a matter of getting him at the right price point, if you will. I don't know if you gamble too much on the rookie receivers, but if I were to pick one, that would be...
I don't. Even after last year, I have not been able to break away from that age-old knowledge.
Yeah, but I will say, if you are going to take a shot at a rookie wide receiver, I got two in mind. I got Amari Cooper because he's the best wide receiver Derek Carr has available to him.
Oh, Cooper! I mean, I'm hearing things from people who are in the fantasy game and NFL insiders. Cooper, there's people who are all about having him as a receiver too, even. Like,
oh, yeah, he's ranked 15th. He's like underneath Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, so they are, he's super polished and fucking ready to rock. So, yeah, I feel pretty comfortable about him too.
And my other rookie wide receiver would be Breshad Perriman.
Yep. Trestman offense. He's a big guy. There's nobody else really there. I mean, Steve Smith. There's a lot of people who like that Ravens offense a lot. Forsett is going to have every opportunity. And that's the same offense that Forte caught all those passes and had that great season in. So yep. Forsett's pretty much the same skill set. So he's could be a great value to everybody out there. You keep fucking stealing my people that are coming up.
why do you think I'm the expert for?
Yeah, right? So
speaking of that, you also got Max Williams, I think could be... He's going to be available later on in the draft. I think he's going to be a stud in that offense, too.
I think he has the perfect skill set for that offense. I just get concerned because rookie tight ends never do anything. So, on the one hand, you have the logic that his skill set fits perfectly into what they want to do in that offense. And they drafted him as high as they did in the second round for a reason, because they want him to be out there busting out in that offense. On the other hand, rookie tight ends never do anything, so I wouldn't lose my mind trying to, you know, if he right. He can be a great value to you, I think.
Yeah, I'm saying he's going to be he's going to be one of your lottery tickets towards the end of the draft, I think.
Yeah.
Not a bad lottery ticket to have, in my opinion. One other wide receiver I wanted to talk about was Charles Johnson from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's sleeping on that name. You even asked me, who the fuck is Charles Johnson that one day?
Yeah.
And
because I'm hearing him, because every time somebody's talking about sleepers, I hear him talking about Charles Johnson, and I'm like, who the fuck? And now you're doing it again. So please tell us who
that Charles, is. Charles Johnson, he's going to be the number one receiver for Minnesota next year. I will put bank on that. The big name for Minnesota's wide receivers is Mike Wallace right now, because he's the home run hitter. He's the one getting paid the most. Charles Johnson's the guy that's going to benefit the absolute most out of that. He is the guy that's going to be Teddy Bridgewater's
underneath,
go-to guy.
Yeah, security blanket. I got you.
Go-to guy, going to get you 10 yards a catch, get you a first down. He's the guy that's going to get you 8 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown almost every week guaranteed. Not bad numbers to have for a number 2 or number 3 receiver.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's another guy I'd love him at a receiver 3. Would love it.
Yeah, so Mike
and
Wallace,
you might be able to get him as a receiver 3, because like you said, not a lot of people are probably thinking of him.
Yep. So he's under the radar. You could get him a lot later than he probably should go. He was putting up nice numbers last year when he got a chance to play. Teddy's got a nice connection with him. He's breakaway, can make some plays for you. I would have no problem drafting him as my number 2 receiver.
Okay. I got you.
I'd much take him over fucking Brandon LaFell or fucking Larry Fitzgerald, to be honest with you.
Well, if you're taking either one of those guys as your... Well, I won't say that you did shitty, but if you're taking either one of those guys as your second receiver, you had fucking damn well better have got good running backs.
Pretty much.
All right. As for my strategy this year, like I was talking about earlier, as we both covered, there's a lot of depth, at the running back position this year. A lot of value, shall we say, to be had this year. A lot of value, and depth at receiver. So you're going to be able to get, you know, it's going to be possible for somebody to get 2 number ones as your wide receiver 1, your wide receiver 2, 2 number one level players. So my deal this year is I'm going receiver and quarterback centric. If I get the chance, I'm going Antonio Brown. And then after that, I will grab whoever's left out of Dez, Demaryius, and Julio and figure out my quarterback later. If I cannot get Antonio Brown at the top of the first, I'm going Andrew Luck. And my ultimate scenario that I'm hoping plays out, and this is not outside of the realm of possibility, is getting a pick near the end of the first and getting Andrew Luck in the first and then Rob Gronkowski at the top of the second. I would be more than happy to be able to do that, because then, once again, like I said, you have built-in advantage. You have built-in advantage at quarterback. You have built-in advantage at tight end. The thing with me, like we discussed earlier, is running backs have such a bust potential. A running back can be taken out of the... If the running game's not working, their day can be done within the first quarter. Most likely, your quarterback and your receivers are going to stay active for a whole game. They're at least going to be trying. Even better yet, if they get behind. And that's another reason why Luck is going to be amazing this year, is because their defense was not upgraded, and therefore they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. So they're going to need to score a lot of points. So I'm going with the guaranteed point production. That's what I want this year. It's what I need this year. My fucking blood pressure was way too high last year, fucking around. And a lot of it is because, you know, doing the serial quarterback burned me last year. I got to the semifinals of my Yahoo League where I was almost undefeated. And then Joe Flacco decides to trot out and give me more interceptions in the first half than completions. He had 4 interceptions to 3 fucking completions, and I basically had no chance after that. So I'm going with pretty much a guarantee. Every week, Antonio Brown, Andrew Luck are going to rip shit up for you, and that's what I'm looking for. Furthermore, top receivers have a much lower bust-out rate than running backs. Running backs get hurt more. Running backs can be shut down. Coaches can abandon the running back, the running game, if it's not working very early in the game. A top receiver is much less likely to let you down or be taken out of the game due to, you know, various circumstances. So that's why I'm going big quarterback, big receivers up top. Now, the only way this is going to change is if Andrew Luck gets snagged and, you know, also Antonio Brown, then I'm going back to zero quarterback and doing the best I can. But I'm comfortable going quarterback and receiver up top because, like we said, there's a lot of value at running back. Some of the guys I'm going to talk to you about that I'm liking, that I know and I'm pretty confident I'm going to be able to snag in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round are guys like Frank Gore, who I think is going to have an awesome year this year. That system totally sets up for his skill set, and he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. Who we discussed on another show, Lamar Miller. Even though, for whatever reason, the Miami Dolphins coaching staff hate him, he still is going to have the ability to get you 800 to 1,000 yards at not a premium price. You're probably going to be able to find Miller in the 6th round or 5th round at some great value. Other guys, I love, a guy in the rookie class that I love, Tevin Coleman, who is going to fit in perfectly to the Kyle Shanahan zone blocking scheme that they're going to install down in Atlanta. So I'm 100% on board with him, and he's not really a known name. He'll probably be around 5th or 6th round.
I'm in the same boat as you on that one.
Yep. Who else do we got here? Mark Ingram, not a guy that everybody thinks of. Not a guy that everybody thinks of, but I think they're going to be more committed to running the ball this year. I think that he got paid. He's ready to go. I think the Saints are committed to being more physical this year. So I think that he could be a good value pick because nobody's really thinking of him. Latavius Murray, Carlos Hyde, 2 young guys who got all the athletic ability in the world are going to finally get their chances to break out. They're probably going to be around a little bit later. So I am not at all afraid of snagging 2 number one receivers up top or a quarterback up top and letting the chips fall to me where they may as far as running backs go.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's just that once you get past, I'd say maybe 47. Okay, once you get past the top 50, it gets pretty fucking hairy.
Oh, it does. But that's why you got to hit. That's why you got to get those guaranteed numbers up top.
Yep.
And as far as sleepers on the tight end section, the 2 guys who I'm going to be looking for, if I can't get Gronk, which I most likely will not be able to, because that's, you know, like I said, my perfect dream scenario. 2 guys I'll be looking for the most that you guys are probably going to be able to get value on are Austin Seferian Jenkins, ASJ, and Tyler Eifert for Cincinnati. Austin Seferian Jenkins came out very highly touted from college last year. He has great athletic skills. He runs a 4.5 40. The offense that he's in at Tampa Bay is gonna, you know, have opportunities all day for the tight end to put up great numbers for an athletic pass-catching tight end. And he has a rookie quarterback who not only is a rookie quarterback, but is a very accurate rookie quarterback. So he will be looking to go over the middle and hit that tight end on the easy matchups all day. Tyler Eifert kind of got forgotten about because he got hurt right at the beginning of the year last year, but is an exceptional athlete and is also, if things work out, could quite easily be the number 2 target in Cincinnati, with, you know, alongside AJ Green in an offense that's not scared to throw the ball. But I mean, he's still, for the price you're probably gonna have to pay for Tyler Eifert, which will be double digit rounds easily, 10th round, 11th round. I mean, you have a chance at a very high likelihood lottery ticket.
And Kyle Rudolph's getting slept on pretty well too this year.
Well, a lot of injury history, so I understand.
Right, but you know, if you want to take a second tight end, I'm just saying, like, if you got a good tight end, you're taking your backup, Kyle Rudolph is still there, pull the trigger.
I mean, that'd be a great lottery ticket, you know, in case nothing else happens. I don't think I would count on him as my starter, but because of his injury history, but there's all the potential in the world between Teddy Bridgewater being a shorter distance but very accurate quarterback, and the North Turner offense that emphasizes tight ends so much. All the potential in the world right there. So I do not disagree. If you can get him late at a good value, to go ahead and go for it. Everybody, go ahead and make sure that you remember all of the disagreements, and we'll be updating how our two teams are doing throughout the season, and we'll revisit all the claims that were made here. A lot of blustering. I enjoyed it. And we will be, you know, we'll be updating you guys on fantasy strategies as the season goes on, and I hope this helped you guys heading into your drafts, who to think about, who to look for, what to do.
And don't let this be the holy Bible of what to do in your draft either. There is a lot we didn't get a chance to discuss tonight. A ton of players that we didn't even get a chance to even look at.
They're
out there. So do your research if you're going to get into this.
Yeah, stuff's out there, guys. Stuff's out there. FantasyPros.com. That's what we've been using for this whole show. Check that out. There's magazines that always come out. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yep. Another website is numbersfire.com. Has a lot of great, really advanced statistics to follow into. As far as players are concerned, it'll tell you what your efficiencies are for your players, who put up decent numbers but are actually a lot shittier than they look. Just read a ton. Guarantee in the next few weeks here, I'm probably going to be reading. I'll probably spend at least 20 hours reading, at a minimum, before my draft starts.
Yep. So it's out there, guys, and it's fun to do. You'll have a blast once you get the hang of it. You'll have a blast playing. So can't recommend it enough. And we hope that we've helped you just as a little primer, getting ready for draft season here. And we will be back to update how all this is going and how we feel about all these players. Just hopeful that this has been helpful. And if you guys got any fantasy questions, remember, we're always available to address them on the show. On Twitter, I am at capital MNORCAL. Go ahead and give out yours to Ty.
At Ty Burna, TYBURNA.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had like a stupid underscore or a fucking dollar sign or some shit on there. But okay, so get up with that. Be watching for it. We hope we helped us out. We'll be back with more fantasy and more football and more fantasy football. Thank you all for joining us.
Good night.